Okay, my message is entitled Christian Life Implies Sacrifice, and I want to read a verse from Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8 says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we want you to be exalted today. We need your help, we need your grace, we need your love, and Lord, come down and walk among us and touch our hearts and give to each and every one whatever they need. Lord, if there is a need of salvation, please give them salvation. If there is a need of comfort or direction, Lord, please work in our hearts and give us whatever we need, and we'll praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. When we talk about sacrifice, when we talk about suffering, because suffering is involved in this sacrifice, you don't really like the word sacrifice. You don't really like the word suffering. And sometimes we as parents try to raise our kids in a different way than we were raised, and we want them to be carefree. We say we don't want them to care too much, you know, or suffer too much. We don't want them to go through the shortage or the lacks we went through, and this is not going to help them. God chose suffering to teach us obedience, to shape us. God wants us to be mature Christians, and if we will be mature Christians, we have to go through sacrifices, we have to go through suffering. And if we look at Jesus Christ here in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8, it says that yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. I mean, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, learned obedience through the things he suffered. God is using suffering in our life to teach us obedience, to teach us to depend on him. When we get to a certain level in life, or a certain stage in life, and we have material things, we have, you know, finances and other stuff, we think we can do it, we think we can manage it, and then we forget about God, and we say, oh, okay, I can do it. I will call the Lord only when I need him. But the Lord wants to be with me and with you every day, every moment. And we need him, whether we think we need or not, we really need God, because he is in control, he is the creator, he is God, and I'm just a creature. And if God says, down, I'm down. And nobody can help me, not even the doctors. And God chose to teach Jesus obedience through the things which he suffered. That's what the Bible says. And we need to understand that God still uses suffering to teach us obedience, to teach us to obey him and to depend on him and live our life a dependable life, a life that relies on God, depends on God. And let's look at Jesus. We want to see a few examples, Jesus and then Paul, and then I have a question for each and every one of us. Let's look at Jesus firstly. Isaiah chapter 53 talks about Jesus going through suffering. It's a prophecy. And there is no other better passage in Scripture that deals with his suffering than this one. And let's go to verse 5. And the verse says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Jesus had to go through all this. He didn't sin. He had no sin. He was perfect. But still he had to go through all this suffering for you and me. Amen. We deserve that. We still deserve death. If it were not Jesus to die for us, to bear all our, to be wounded for our transgression and iniquities, would be dead. We'd be on the way to hell. And that's an eternal punishment. But Jesus took all of our sins, all of our iniquities. He was chastised. The Bible says that he was wounded. Nails went through his palms. He was bruised. He was beaten for us. He was broken for us. He was chastised in my place, in your place. And so many people today, when they refer to Jesus, when they think of Jesus, they say, oh, Jesus. Who is this Jesus? What did he do for us? Oh, he didn't suffer. And we see all kinds of films, movies about Jesus, passions, but they're just actors. They're just acting. And sometimes the director would just wrap it up in a nice looking way, not to show the reality that took place there. But he really suffered. He went through suffering. He was wounded. He was bruised. He was chastised. We're supposed to die. But he did it in our place, in my place, in your place. And God deserves all the glory. It's his plan. It wasn't easy on Jesus' side, on his part. He had to carry our sorrows. And then the Bible goes on and says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of me, of you. Do we really understand what Jesus went through? Do we really appreciate what he did for you and me? If we do appreciate, our life needs to be changed. Our life needs to be different. We should be more like Jesus. He did not open his mouth. So many times when people come to us and say some words, we reply in the same way. We get into a fight so easily. We don't want this flesh to stay behind when we keep the pace with the flesh. But Jesus died, and he died for all my sins so I can live a life just like him. And yes, we can. It's not easy, but yes, we can. With the Lord's help, Philippians 4:13 says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, I can suffer. Even if people, you know, come and laugh at me, mock me, I can just follow Jesus through his grace, through his Holy Spirit who strengthens me. Let's look at Paul, the second example. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we see Paul, the apostle. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 through 12. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifested in our mortal flesh. You see, Paul says about himself and all those co-laborers, we are troubled on every side. Those who want to serve the Lord will be troubled. And that's Jesus' promise. We'll read it in a moment. But you see, Paul is troubled on every side, but not distressed. That means, even if we are troubled for the Lord's sake, we are not without help. We have God's help. There is Psalm 23, verse 1 that says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's my shepherd. He's the one that cares for me. He's the one that feeds me. He's the one that directs my path. He's the one that heals me and protects me. He does all this because He loves me. He loves you. And we need to, if you don't have this relationship with the Lord, you need to get into this relationship, personal relationship, because the Lord wants to be your personal shepherd. The Lord, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. So if I have a need, I go to the Lord. He's my shepherd. If I don't have a need, I have a praise, I go to the Lord and I praise His name. I need to live in a close relationship with the Lord every day. Especially, you know, knowing that the Lord's coming is getting closer and closer. He wants to be not only my shepherd, but your shepherd too. So even if I'm troubled on every side, Paul says, I'm not distressed. I'm not without hope. I have all the hope in Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ your hope? Amen. Paul goes on and says, we are perplexed, but not in despair. Sometimes we don't have a way, a clear way to go. Sometimes we're confused. The good news is that the Lord is still there. He never moves. The one who moves is always me. He stays like the good father waiting for the prodigal son, always with the stretched arms, waiting for the son to come back. Have you gone astray? The Lord is waiting for you. Come back. Come back to Him, to a closer relationship. Come back to Him. He wants to comfort you. He wants to give you direction. He wants to give you all you need. The Lord is my shepherd. That's what the Bible says. Is the Lord your shepherd? Paul is troubled. Paul has his times when he doesn't know where to go. He's confused, but he's not in despair. He's not without help. And then he says, I'm persecuted, but not forsaken. Time will come when Christians here will be persecuted. Like, you know, in Europe. And the communists. And, you know, the devil is so good, you know, he knows how to do things. But praise the Lord, Romans chapter 8:28 says that all things work together for the good, including suffering, including troubles. We like to think that only when we win something good, when we make money, when we receive gifts, those good things work for our good. But the Bible says that all things, including troubles, suffering, all things work for our good. And Paul is persecuted, but he's not in despair. He's not forsaken. He's cast down, but not destroyed. Only God has the power to destroy. The devil has limited power. And the Lord Jesus says we should fear God, not the devil. Sometimes we fear the devil and we fear people. Oh, what would they say about me? What would they do to me? We don't have to worry about this. We don't have to fear people. We don't have to fear the devil. All we need to do is fear the Lord. And if we fear the Lord, we'll go by His commandments. That's what the Bible says. Fear the Lord and obey the Lord. And God wants to teach us, every one of us, to obey Him, to depend on Him. Even if persecutions come, even if shortages come, it doesn't matter. Everything is under God's control. He knows what He's doing. We don't have to worry about that. He knows what He's doing. With Obamacare, with other stuff, you know. God knows what He's doing. I hear people, you know, complaining about this, but, you know, we don't know. We've had Obamacare for years in Romania. Because it's the same socialist, you know, system. We don't like it. But God knows about it. And, you know, I'm still alive. So God is in control. We should fear the Lord and obey Him. If we say we love the Lord, we obey the Lord. And somebody who really fears the Lord, they obey the Lord. When God says something in His Bible, we go for it. Thirdly, I have a question for every one of us. What about my sacrifice? I know the Lord sacrificed a lot. I know Paul sacrificed a lot in order for the gospel to go in all that known world back in those times. But what about you and me? You know, everything becomes personal. In 2 Timothy, Apostle Paul talks about 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Says, yeah, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Again, I say we don't like the word persecution, but it's inevitable, I guess I should say, right? Did I say it right? It's a hard word for me to say. I mean, we have to go through persecution. If we love the Lord, you know, with all things going on here in the States with homosexuality and other sins, you know, public sins, you either say yes or you say no. You take a stand. Like the Hebrew children in Babylon, when the king raised up that big idol and he said, when you hear the sound of the music, you shall bow. If you don't, here's the furnace. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, we serve the Lord. I know we can fake, we can, you know, bow and say in our minds, Lord, you know, you are Jehovah, the real God, and we worship you. But what all the others would think? Oh, they worship the idol. So they took a stand and they stood up. They said, God can rescue. God can save us from this furnace. But even if He doesn't, we are not bowing the idol. Are you going to take a stand? Even if sacrifice will come, even if persecution will come, take a stand for the Lord and say, Lord, I need your grace, I need your love, so I can take a stand for you. You might be worried, but Peter says, cast all your worries upon Him. You don't have to worry. What will it be like if I really stand for the Lord? God needs people to stand for His truth, for His Bible, for His doctrines. He had those Hebrew children. He needs to have today in 2014 here and in Europe people that would stand for His truth. Are you willing to do that? It's for the Lord. It's not for me. It's for the Lord. And guess what? God is a good God. And Romans chapter 10, verse 12 says, whoever trusts the Lord will not be ashamed. If you trust the Lord, you will never be ashamed. And in addition to this, the Bible says in James chapter 1 that our good God is a rich God and doesn't want us and doesn't need us to serve Him for nothing. He wants to reward us. And He will do it. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. My brother encountered all joy when he fell into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love Him. God has a reward. But we need to give up, right? No. When temptation comes, I need to stand up for the Lord. I need to stay with the Lord, follow the Lord. He'll give me victory. And then, when I meet Him, He will reward me. Amen. He'll reward you. Let's not fear the devil. Let's not fear the world, the system of this world. Let's fear the Lord, God Almighty. And God wants you and me, as He says through Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, to bring our bodies as a living sacrifice for Him. God doesn't want just my hand or my pocket or my wallet. Just this or that. He wants all of me and all of you as a living sacrifice. If you are dead, what good are you here for the other Christians or for the lost people? But if you are a living sacrifice, living for the Lord, holding the light up, then people will see an open Bible, a living Bible. Amen. And they'll say, there is somebody like Jesus. Would you like to be like Jesus? Amen. He went through sacrifices, through suffering, persecution. Would you like to be like Paul? He was following the Lord. Are you willing to sacrifice something? Let's do it. Let's sacrifice all we have because it is worth it. He died for you and for me. He gave us eternal life, and He's waiting there to offer us rewards. Thank you, Lord. Lord bless you. Amen. Amen.